You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. Here it is, Tuesday, August number 14 in the year of our Lord 2018, as we move on into this second hour already. And if you notice, it was 2 minutes less of a commercial break. Now, some people might say, 2 minutes, that's it. Let me tell you something. Whether it's television or radio or any other medium, 2 minutes is gold. Because all we have here is time, and we're always fighting against that clock. And as other programs out there, other talking heads, expand the number of commercials and breaks that they have, I'm shrinking them. Go figure. This sort of epiphany hit me about a month ago, and I was looking at things, and I'm thinking, you know what? What this program is about is not about the commercials. Yeah, sure, I would love to have, you know, Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity's contracts or Glenn Beck's contracts. But you know what? That's not why I started this. Sure, I'd like to make a full-time living doing nothing but... can you imagine how great this program would be if I could just do this full-time 24/7 instead of doing everything else I have to do? Yeah, I'd love to do that. But that's not why I started this. And I hope people understand and feel the passion that I have for this country, which is why I started this program. Because I wanted the truth to get out there. I don't care what the truth is, folks. If you're a new listener, understand one thing. I do not care what the truth is. All I care about is the truth. If the truth happens to support the leftists, we'll have to suck it up on the right, because it's the truth. Fortunately for us, though, 99% of the time, the truth does not support the left side, but, and even, you know, most of the time when that happens, even the left knows they're not telling the truth, which is really kind of, you know, annoying at the least, you know, but that's all I care about is the truth, because once we know the truth, then we can actually do something that is good to fix whatever the problem is. If we don't know what the truth is, then we'll just start doing flailing our arms and coming up with laws and policies that don't work, that only affect everybody else's freedom. You know, like the whole gun issue, folks. Chicago's got a shoot 'em up gallery going on every weekend now, almost. And what do you got people like David Hogg running around doing? Gun control, taking guns away from honest, hardworking, law-abiding citizens. Well, that's not going to stop the criminal. You know, I mean, well, the truth is all these gun crimes, Rod. Yeah, they're crimes committed by criminals, most of whom already broke the law by having a gun in their hand in the first place. So all you're going to do, the truth is, all you're going to do is severely hamper a law-abiding citizen's ability to protect himself and his family and his loved ones. And that's exactly what's happening in Chicago. You know, a city with one of the toughest gun laws in America. I don't know how any of that, those laws in Chicago are actually constitutional. But you've had some corrupt judges that say, yeah, constitutional. And so now the good people of Chicago are pretty much defenseless. They're defenseless. And that's the truth. So the truth is, well, how do we fix this? Well, How about we take a look, go a little bit north of Chicago, well, northeast of Chicago, to the city of Detroit. When Detroit told its citizens, you know what? We can't be everywhere. I mean, you know, Detroit went, the city went bankrupt. They didn't, they couldn't pay half their police, so they lost a good portion of their police force, and they're so spread out, you know, because of the way the city is designed and the way it's ended up now. You know, you got half, literally, you drive down some streets and half the neighborhood is either dilapidated or torn down. They can't be everywhere. So, you know, they basically told the citizens of Detroit, and especially in some of the more outlying neighborhoods, you guys are going to have to, you know, police yourselves a little bit more. And justifiable homicide did go up for a short period of time, but violent crime in the city of Detroit, because people could protect themselves, went down. Now, what if they adopted that type of policy in Chicago? Do you think those thugs and gangsters would be running around the street trying to shoot everybody up if they knew that good people with good aim? The only good thing about Chicago is that the criminals out there, they can't aim worth crap. Now, that's a bad thing, too, because innocent people are getting hit. But they can't hit as many people as they normally would if they could actually shoot straight. I mean, honestly, you know, you hear, well, there was, you know, police are pulling bullets out of walls and stuff like that like crazy. I mean, bullets aren't cheap. But what if you had citizens who trained themselves, who could shoot accurately and straight, who could fight back? Guarantee you'd have fewer of these so-called drive-bys and shoot-a-thons happening out there in Chicago. But what are they doing instead? Nope. They're doubling down and talking about even stricter gun control. That makes absolutely no sense, because they're not trying to find out the truth. And thus they're going to make policies based on lies and fiction and desire and belief, and they're going to end up with more crime. That's why it's important to know the truth, because if you don't know it, you're going to end up making policy that makes things worse instead of better. And it only restricts people's freedom. That, you know, that's my opinion, but it's opinion based on fact. Speaking of facts, I still have Kevin on the line, thankfully. Welcome back, my friend. We were discussing your experience in police work and you know, juveniles being adjudicated as full grown adults and all the political crap that goes on. I mean, 20 plus years in your career. I mean, you've had to have seen some political policing going on that just blows your mind, and you're probably thinking, what the hell? I mean, because
Lord, yes. Well, let me reopen with this. Rod, what you just said was absolute truth. From, you know, and this is what happens when you get your advice from lawmakers rather than law enforcers. I mean, you were, you know, let me delve a little bit deeper into what you were just saying when we were talking about Shoot Cago. And I said that on purpose.
I like that.
Shoot Cago.
I'm going to steal it. Shoot Cago.
On the show that I co-host, you know, we do a weekly count. Now, the good news is the count is going down each weekend of people killed in, you know, gunfire. But I'm not sure if that's because the laws are working or they're just getting better aim. You know, so yeah, yeah. I can't speak to that, but Rod, this should be so simple, and people have said this before. If you know, and let's just, you know, narrow it down to gangsters. If they cared about the law, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Whenever you enforce laws or you create laws to control access to weapons, you're only affecting the people who are willing to go through legal means to get them. Am I just babbling? Am I speaking, you know, a different language? Is this clear?
People just, they get riled up in emotion And I've often said you cannot have good policy based on emotion. I'm sorry, you just can't. It has to be based on facts and logic. That's what policy is supposed to be.
And as a Leo or a law enforcement officer, we don't understand why they continue to pound legislation down our throats. For example, let's go way back. Columbine, the children that committed the crimes in Columbine went through and they committed. And now count this. They broke 21 gun laws doing what they did at the time with existing law. What was the government's answer to that? Was to promote two more gun laws. Makes no sense. Those children didn't give a ding dang darn about gun law when they went through shooting their fellow students.
No, not at all. And look, the only people that care about laws and obey the laws are law-abiding citizens.
So let's tie this in to my previous point. Those two children are now sitting, we're still back in the Columbine era. They're now sitting in prison. They're adjudicated as adults.
No, those
now
two are dead. Columbine, they're dead. Klebold, and didn't they kill themselves?
Yes, they did. But we're looking back at that era, though.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're sitting in prison, and the courts would simply say, hey, we're going to adjudicate you as adults. Do you think when they're shooting those fellow students, do you think they give a darn, and I'm censoring myself, do you think they give a darn if they're going to be adjudicated as adults?
No.
And the children that I'm looking at in my dorms, we have a children's dorm, a whole dorm dedicated to these poor kids. And I'm not sympathizing with their crimes, but I'm sympathizing with them as children because I'm a parent.
You know, a lot of these kids, they make one stupid mistake. It could have been out of the heat of the moment. It could have been, you know, temporary peer pressure. People often forget how some kids can't handle peer pressure and they fold like a deck of cards, a house of cards. But they make one mistake, and if they were treated properly, you would never see them in another courtroom again. Probably not even for a simple traffic ticket. But instead, we toss them to the wolves and we make them lifelong criminals. You know what? Society is responsible for a lot of its criminals. Yeah, granted, there are really just some evil people out there, but there's also a number of them, a lot of them, that we turn into lifelong criminals by the way we treat them.
And also what we feed them. I hate to hit some cliche arguments here, Rod, and I don't mean to, you know, monopolize your show with my sleep-deprived rantings, but we feed them crap. I mean, look at these people that are on the internet that are famous for just doing a bunch of stupid junk. And these kids see this, and they're like, well, you know what? I'm so ignored by society, and mm-hmm. I want to be like that, and so I'm going to do something that is spontaneous, something that is huge,
shocking,
and yes, absolutely. So, and plus, my life really doesn't mean crap because, you know, nobody has paid any attention to me at this point. If I do this, I'm going to be famous, and I'm going to be and I'm air quoting, and I'm saying this intentionally, not meaning to be racist, but I'm speaking from experience. I want to be gangsta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they go through and they execute a bunch of their fellow students. They get their 15 minutes. When they hit the dorms with other children of their age and of their, you know, genre and of their crime, they're heroes for at least a few minutes until we feed them to the wolves.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And we can't do crap about it as administrators, because the law says, well, you know, we're going to be tough on crime this year, but treat them like kids. Well, how do I do that? How do I treat them like children, educate them, and at the same time I'm feeding them to a dorm full of predators? How do you do that, Your Honor?
You know, part of that is, yeah, I've watched a lot of, you know, cop shows on television. I mean, I've mentioned, you know, Criminal Minds and SVU. A lot on this program, and those are two. I don't watch a ton of cop shows. I mean, there's a bunch of them out there. They're just ridiculous. But there's a couple that I tend to binge. Criminal Minds. I was on a binge last year with Criminal Minds. I've probably seen every episode up until the last three seasons. And SVU is of all of that genre. The SV, what is it? Criminal Intent. SVU. Out of all the criminal, there's a plethora of criminal intent programs.
Oh, but all that matters, and I'm saying this publicly, all that matters is Detective Olivia Benson.
Yes, that's probably why I watch SVU. But it's a bit of public indoctrination from Hollywood, because those programs are heavy on. Now, one of the reasons why I do like SVU is because oftentimes. The cops themselves, and you know, including Elliot, probably my favorite cop outside of Olivia. He's no longer on the program, but the man was about law. He's about law. He's about law and order. But a lot of times there was a lot of compassion, and he disagreed vehemently with the district attorney. And there are times when Olivia did. Now Olivia, that character, she has her own personal demons, but there are also times when she also vehemently disagreed, and they were overruled by the prosecution, and they went ahead and did certain things that they didn't agree with. But we're indoctrinated to think this is acceptable. We're indoctrinated to think, well, this 14-year-old is a predator. Not really. There's underlying reasons for it, and if you get the kid help, he's not going to be a permanent resident of the public. He's gonna do whatever time he should do as a child, get the help that he needs, and then he's most likely going to go out into society and be a contributing member of society. But instead, they want to shove him into this type of system and call him a predator, label him a – labels matter, folks. They really do. Mm-hmm. Because people often act that equal their label. If you know, well, this person is – what happens when you call somebody brilliant? They often try to act brilliant. What happens when you call a kid constantly, he's nothing but a thug or a criminal or a predator? Well, he's going to live up to society's belief. Well, people think I can't do good anyway. I just might as well do bad.
Exactly.
So
you're exactly right.
I mean, this is stuff that people, well, I don't know if they learned it anymore, but this is the kind of stuff that at least when I was in college, people learned in Psych 101, for crying out loud. And sociology 101, it's not that difficult. It's not radical thinking, but we've gone away from that. You know, look, don't get me wrong. There are people that need to be locked away forever. I'm not saying that is not the case, that they should be, because there are people out there that are just evil and they're just going to do bad no matter what. So, yeah, they need to be locked up. But a good number of them, they make a single mistake, make a rash decision, and yeah, they need to pay the price for that, but not for the rest of their life.
Well, let me add a whole nother layer to this. Once they get into some type of counseling or treatment, which we do offer because we want to help, we really, at the corrections level, well, we really, really, really want to do the right thing. And we really do want to help people. We're not a bunch of knuckle dragging thugs. You know, we're not a bunch of, you know, Neanderthals with keys. We really want to treat them as people. But they get into these programs and they become psychologized. And the problem with that is that oftentimes, Rod, they're taught that your issues are not your problem. It's the way society has treated you. Now, does that sound familiar? It almost sounds leftist, does it not?
Yeah, yeah. It's not your fault. Okay, if it's not my fault, then if I go do it again,
done wrong.
If it's not my fault, and if I go do it again, well, it's not my fault.
Yeah, Rod, it's not your fault. You steal things simply because you've been deprived things, and it's not your parents. It's society has deprived you these things. You kill people because you've been tormented to the point to where you want to kill people. And that's just not right. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It just defies common sense. So we're in this endless cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, you sentence a 16-year-old to 25 years, which means in most states, you'll do one-third of your sentence. So let's be conservative. You'll be out when you're 24, 25. But now you've got this training that nothing you do is really your fault. It's society's fault. So you come out hating society. You're likely to commit the crime again. Now you're back in this endless cycle. And Rod, quite honestly, we can't fight that. We can't continue this battle without just being ugly.
We can't fight it, and to be frank, we can't continue to afford it. We can't continually being this society with the highest percentage of locked up citizens. I mean, that right. is counterproductive. And again, you know, a lot of times there are reasons to lock up somebody truly. And for a long period of time, if not for the rest of their natural life. But there are a lot of times when we have people in prison that don't belong there. I mean, they're a drug user. What good is putting them in prison going to do?
None. None, absolutely. Because what do we do when they're in prison? We give them drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference between methadone and heroin? Absolutely nothing. We're not helping people. And then we put them in a substance abuse class. Because that's mandatory.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing? You know, nothing.
Where you're also telling them your drug use is not your fault. We understand society was very mean, and it's very difficult for you to cope with how bad society or mean society is. You're right. It's an endless cycle. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep sticking this stick in my eye and bitching that it hurts. You know,
I always say? If it hurts when you do that, then don't do that.
Yeah, stop that. but here's hope. Before I leave you, Rod, because again, I'm not going to monopolize your show. I just have a lot to say about this. Here's hope, though. And this is I'm directly addressing your listeners. Trust me when I tell you that there are a lot of officers out there, corrections officers specifically, because again, I really can't speak towards the patrol side. I have not arrested anybody in a long time. It's been a long time. Although if I did pull you over, Rod, I don't blame you because you are rather dapper. Again, you've got individuals that are working in the jails as officers who see these inmates as people. They're not numbers. They're not just blank faces. We do see them as people, and we approach them as people, and we try to treat them as individuals. We're not stripping them of their humanity. We approach them at that level because we care about them as people, and we care about their issues. We care about their problems. Before we went to break, you know, I was kind of praising my officers because I've been very, very fortunate to have a great team of officers. And they're new. They're rookies. And me being an old scratch at this, you know, I try to tell them, you know, I teach them, treat them as people. Don't cuss them out. Don't call them out of their name. Oftentimes, if you just simply approach them at the soul level, or you approach them at the spirit level, or, you know, if a guy is acting out and you happen to know him, you know, approach him from that level. We don't need to deface them. And that gives them that little sense of humanity that they may not have. They don't get that from media. They don't get that from radio. They don't get that on the streets. But they get that familial connection.
And they don't get it in the courtroom either. Often they don't even get it from their own damn lawyer.
Oh, absolutely not. They're just a media sensation for 15, 20 minutes. And the attorneys, you know, 50-50.
Yeah, just another, you know? Just another client, no big deal.
Yeah.
Win some, lose some.
Yeah, how much can he pay you? But we try that. You know, we really try to approach them as people. So there's your hope. You may have that officer who is going to touch their life, and you never know. Maybe that's all they need to kind of set them straight.
And that's why it's good to have real community policing. It's a good thing to have that cop get out there and throw the football with a neighborhood kid or play a quick game of basketball with them or something. They see that the cop is a real person, too. Well, we got to run, my friend. Always good to talk to you on the air, especially. You always bring some great stuff.
Awesome, Rod. Well, thank you. Thank you for indulging me.
No problem. Get some sleep. We'll be back.
I'm fixing to right now.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate,
chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Welcome back. Thanks again to Kevin for that. He doesn't call in often, by the way, but when he does, I often talk to him for an extended period of time. One, because he's a nice guy. He's very informed and he's very informative. And that's what this program's all about, informing you. And he's not boring to listen to. Look, I've had callers on this program before that were boring, and they're lucky if they were on for 60 seconds. And I've had callers that have been very informative and not boring, and they've been on for an extended period of time, which is also the advantage of this kind of a program, by the way. I'm not under the gun like the big guys. And people on some of the big shows, they often get cut off just at the point when they're getting interesting. Although I have noticed that on, I'll mention him again, Rush Limbaugh's show, that he seems to be taking more time with many of the callers now, which is a good thing. Now it means fewer callers, but it means it makes for a more interesting program. And there are still other programs that they just, or you'll notice the difference when he has guest hosts. Some guest hosts don't get that yet. And you know, a caller, just as the caller is about to get to the real meaty, juicy reason of why they called. Well, thanks for the call. Yeah, it's great. We take another call here. No. The whole point, this is why it's called a talk show. Not a, you know, see how many calls you can take show. You want to talk to individuals. It's often why I don't like listening to Limbaugh's show when he's not there, because many of his hosts do that. They're still of that old mindset. You got to bring in the calls, rotate them. No, that's not the way it should work. And that's all too often. Even on some of the local radio shows, it's the same way. And I remember when I was living in Keene and there was a particular morning show and he didn't get a whole hell of a lot of calls, but the calls that he did get, they were like on and off. And I'm like, damn, dude, let people get to their point. I mean, I know some, they're not callers. Most callers are not professional radio personalities either. So they're not, they can have a little bit of diarrhea at the mouth. So it's the show host's job to keep them on point. And I guess they don't know how to do that. Honestly. So they'll take a potential interesting call or caller and then cut them off. And I find that so annoying. So when people have ever called this program, if they were informative, if they weren't boring, I'll keep them on the line as long as need be. But, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that when there have been callers that were kind of boring or stupid or dumb, I didn't keep them on the air very long. That's the way all that stuff is supposed to work. Again, the way things are supposed to work and the way they actually work, a lot of times it doesn't mesh, unfortunately. But it is the nature of the game. So we continue on here. Roger Stone. He's a little upset. I wouldn't blame him because he's, by the way, I thought Mueller was supposed to be investigating supposed Trump-Russian or Trump-Putin collusion in the election. How do we get off into all these tangents that have absolutely nothing to do with the election or Trump? Look at Manafort, nothing to do with Trump. How do you go back into somebody's life 10 or 15 years and say it's connected with Russian election collusion? You know, Manafort is now being prosecuted for stuff that supposedly happened, 2005, 2006? The last I checked, 2006 is not 2016. So Roger Stone is now saying, well, the witch hunt is now continuing with him, with Mueller's team going far back as a decade. Nothing to do with Trump. Now, I know some people are saying, well, Rod, we want to root out this corruption. Really? Do we really want to is this really about rooting out corruption? You know, something about somebody's taxes 10 or 15 years ago is really rooting out today's corruption. Now, I'm not saying that if Manafort did do something with his taxes that was nefarious 10 years ago that he shouldn't pay for it. But at the same time, what happened to equal justice? How come Tim Geithner could get away with doing what Manafort is accused of doing and still become Secretary of the Treasury under Obama? How, if there's Russian collusion, how is it that Hillary Clinton and the DNC get away with it and Trump can't? Well, you're saying that Trump actually did it? No, I'm pointing this stuff out. There's a lot of hypocrisy and it's extremely lopsided, and we're not getting rid of corruption. It is a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt against conservatives, and it's a witch hunt against anybody who would ever think about doing business or supporting Donald Trump. This is all about destroying Trump during his time in office and after he leaves. Because it is about telling people you can never, ever support anybody like him again. And if you're working with somebody right now who someday might have aspirations to be president, who's similar to Donald Trump, you have got to put all your pressure to bear on them never to run. Because if they do, we're going to come after you. That's what this is about, folks. This is about the swamp itself. keeping the swamp level high. There's no doubt about it. And you get these leftists out there running around telling, yeah, the world's laughing at us right now. No, the world is not. The world is respecting us, and you've even gotten some leaders who were first against Trump who now like him. And you've gotten some countries that want their own version of Donald Trump. And as a matter of fact, some of them have actually elected their own version of Donald Trump. Can I bring in Hungary, for example? I mean, here's a country that is doing everything that the left in this country says is racist and unworkable, and they're making it work. You know, border wall and increased border patrol and border guards. No, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Hungary doesn't have a problem. And so now you've got the Italian version of Trump that has just been elected, and he's starting to make some maneuvers that are making the citizens of Italy happy. Instead of bringing in all these so-called refugees, he's starting to turn many of them back. You're not getting into Italy now. That makes Italian citizens extremely happy. From what I understand, he's enjoying some, you know, in his early days, some high approval ratings over there in Italy. Oh, but I thought people like Trump would be despised. Isn't that what the left told us? Not being despised at all. And now you've got some people up there north of our border in Canada who are regretting their vote for Justin Trudeau. I've heard this stuff trickling down from the north. Yeah, this is being proud of your own country is not being racist. You're a part of that society, and you have a lot in common with those people around you. That has always been the case throughout human history. Even before we had big countries and we just had little, you know, tribes and tribe states and city states, it was always about the people that had something in common. And oftentimes, those city states or tribal states began to expand. Not always by conquering. Sometimes it was just, you know, two or three of them coming together and saying, we have a lot in common. We have a very similar language. We have similar culture. You know, we should combine our strength for a number of reasons, for economic and military reasons. We see that in history on how countries became to be countries because there were people that had stuff in common. And it's quite amazing to see how a lot of times, if you look across the planet, a lot of times when you cross that border, the culture changes dramatically. The language changes. Let me give an example. Germany and France. Two very different cultures, very different languages. And when you cross that French-German border, it's two very different worlds. Now, you would think, well, you know, if you live on the border, they might be similar. They're actually not. Now, yeah, granted, some borders are artificial. All borders are artificial, but understand what I'm saying. Some borders are artificial. They're forced. And some are pretty natural. And this is due to people wanting to communicate and commune with people like them. So there's nothing wrong with the French wanting to be very French. There's nothing wrong with Germans wanting to be very German. There's nothing wrong with Americans wanting to be very American. There's nothing wrong with Americans wanting to protect the American culture, the American way of life. Everybody out there does. They may not be the most advanced, you know, nations on the planet, but I guarantee you the Romanians are proud to be Romanian and want to protect Romanian culture. That's just the way it is. It's called assimilating with similarity. And when somebody comes here to our country, doesn't want to assimilate but wants to change us, we get very uncomfortable, we get very protective, as any nationality would. Now, if somebody wants to migrate legally to France and become French, they're pretty much welcome with open arms, just like here. You want to come to America and become American? Great. We want to welcome you. We'll assimilate your culture into ours and make it ours. And Lord knows we've done that. But then all of a sudden you get people who want to come here and be destructive, who want to be separatists, who want to divide. And you've got leftists tell us, well, we should let them. Why? We can't go to their home country and do the same thing. You can't go into Mexico and demand that Mexicans become more American. That's not going to fly. You can't go to Brazil and demand that Brazil be more like America or France or wherever. That's not going to fly. But here we get legals and, well, not usually legals, but some legals and usually illegals who flood our streets in protest carrying signs and flags, make California, make Texas, make America like Mexico. If you want us to be Mexico, go back to Mexico. Plain and simple, we're not Mexico. We're not Canada. We're not France. We're not England. We're not Zimbabwe. We're not Syria. We're not Iran. We're not China. We're America. And there's nothing wrong with that. We want to assimilate and be around people who are like us. Everybody does. It's a natural human inclination, no matter where you go on the planet. Sometimes the differences are outwardly noticeable. I mean, you think that America is the only quote-unquote racist country? Try being a white or a black person going to an Asian country. You stand out like a sore thumb. And if you do not capitulate and assimilate, you're going to have problems in those countries. But somehow, some way, some reason, it is okay for other countries to be very proud of themselves, but it's not okay for Americans, because the left has tried to tell us that our immigration policy is the equivalent of a poem on the Statue of Liberty. That has never been our immigration policy. Never. The idea that we've taken in everybody who's ever come is a lie. There were lots and lots of people who were turned away at Ellis Island and in San Francisco, which was at one point the equivalent of was a West Coast Ellis Island. Believe it or not, that's the good old rock, Alcatraz. That used to be an immigration port from the West. Not every, you know, we like to think, well, you know, the West took in a lot of Chinese people. Not every Chinaman who came to the United States got in. We turned a lot back. Just like at Ellis Island, we turned a lot of them back. So we've never had this policy of allowing and accepting everybody in. And for those of you who say, well, you know, the pilgrims were illegal immigrants, there was no such thing back then. There was no such thing. So no, they weren't. But I guarantee you that if we had such a thing called immigration ports and passports back in the 16 and 1700s, it would have been a different story. But this is what we have today. And by the way, this all came out of the end of World War I in the League of Nations. Because the League of Nations, in other words, the world, decided that every country had a right to control its borders and to have solid borders and control who came into their countries. And shortly thereafter, the whole passport system was created in order to be able to control that. This is not something the United States made up all by itself. It came out of the League of Nations, which then morphed into the United Nations. And I noticed that, you know, whenever you go to the United Nations, nobody's talking about dropping borders at the UN, really. No. They're not. Why? Because all of those other nations want to stay a nation themselves. I mean, for good or bad, you know, some because they're just dictatorial, and some just because they just want to protect their own culture and society. But none of them are really, none of the world leaders, if you go into their countries, are advocating for borderless countries. At least not on a non-military basis. You know, they may want to attack another country and take over land, but that's a military action. That's not, oh, we're just going to drop our borders here. You know how difficult it is to go from country to country in the continent of Africa? It's damn hard. Even though they don't have the manpower, and oftentimes countries don't have the money to, in order to really patrol their borders, if you're inside, they don't appreciate it. I mean, oftentimes you'll get one country that in Africa that is going through a civil war, and they'll get refugees that flood into another country, and that other country will keep them in squalid condition of immigration or, these camps, these tent cities. They don't allow them to assimilate into their country. Why? Because they're bringing in a different culture that they don't want. Look at Africa. And you would think if any place would be, you know, more open, it would be that continent, right? No, it's not. If they had the manpower and the money, let me tell you something, that would be the most closed continent on the planet. It would be like the old days trying to go from the Western Europe into Eastern Europe. It was not an easy thing to do. Under the old Soviet Union. That's Africa right now. Oh, but we want to build a wall to protect our culture and our citizens without really damaging legal immigration, but cutting down the illegal immigration. And all of a sudden, everybody here who wants to do that is a bunch of racists. Really? No, we don't want anybody coming here illegally. We don't want Canadians coming here illegally. And Canadians don't want Americans going there illegally. Nothing wrong with it. Just a sense of national pride. So what are these people doing down there in Washington, D.C. to promote that? Nothing. They're trying to promote their own well-being at the expense of you and me. That's all this Mueller witch hunt is about. Mueller is not investigating anything to do with collusion or election meddling, because if he did, he'd be indicting a bunch of Democrats. And he's not doing any high-level Democrats been indicted yet? Are any high-level Democrats really, honestly, seriously being investigated? No, we have Mueller and his buddies out there, you know, defending and finding all kinds of loopholes to get those kinds of people off. Remember what Comey did with Hillary Clinton. Those are facts, folks. Nothing but facts here. Now, if somebody on the right side did something illegal, they should pay. But so should the people on the left.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility.